Elliot had signed up to do tonight's show a while ago. And then I told him we were going to have a gynecologist, a doctor on to talk about women's health. And he said, I'll be at the Billy Goat. And we did a little bit of shifting. And now you are here for the beginning of the show. And I've decided to hit this topic right out of the gate. Is that all right?
Yeah. And
why am I asking if it's all right? It's my show, Dr. Stryker, right?
Whatever you want. And Elliot, I mean, did you want your gynecologist to come on? Is that why you
Oh, were? Wow.
No, boy, yeah.
There we go. It already went that way. It already went that way. Well, this is actually timely. We talked a little bit off the air about some of the things, and I didn't get a chance to ask you about this, if you were comfortable talking about reproductive rights, because this week the Supreme Court is going to make decisions, or at least hear arguments about clinics in Texas that perform abortions. There was a study that said that the number of women who have tried performing abortions on themselves is in the high six figures.
Yes, it is so terrifying what is going on in Texas, and not just Texas, someone all over this country. And I think what bothers me the most, because of course, when it comes to reproductive rights, I am, you know, so totally in favor of a woman's right to choose is between her and her physician. Let's get the politicians out of our uteruses
Please.
And out of our bedrooms.
So crowded.
But I think what scares me the most is when I talk to young women and they don't seem particularly concerned. And there's this complacency about that they will always have this right to choose.
Because it's always been there for them.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I also think that there's this idea among a lot of people that if women are responsible and if they use birth control, that they won't ever need an abortion. And I wish that was the case. But first of all, we know that 50% of the pregnancies in this country are not planned, and that they are a result of people, of women who did use some form of contraception but potentially failed. So many of these pregnancies that occur are not because someone was irresponsible, not to mention there are many desperately desired pregnancies that have gone wrong.
Right. And when you say that, you're talking about medical necessity to terminate a pregnancy.
Absolutely.
Whether it's the viability.
Something that's going on with the baby that is truly incompatible with life. Mm-hmm. There are so many situations that are so complex, and this is not political, and it shouldn't be political. And when I watch the debates and I see them talking about this, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, what happened to the separation of church and state? And what happened to the idea that this is something that is between a woman and her doctor? And we've come so far forward when it comes to gay rights and gay marriage and so many other things. And then we're going so far backwards. And what we're seeing, of course, is just what you brought up, mm-hmm. that there are women that are desperate and they, you know, you cannot get an abortion in Texas for the most part because there are so many restrictions and there you have to travel so far, and right. women, as they always have, take matters into their own hands, and it's just sad.
Well, and people will say, well, you know, life begins. I mean, the governor of Arizona said that how long ago was the legislation? Life begins 2 weeks before conception was the type of.
Are you kidding?
That's what
I mean. You know, come on. But you know, the other thing also is the same people that are, you know, they use this phrase "right to life," which makes me a little nuts. It's anti-choice, of course. It's not right to life, because if it was right to life, then they would also be concerned about gun control and capital punishment. You know, whose life, which life. So there's that part of it. But let's talk about contraception. You know, the everyone agrees who is pro-choice like I am that abortion should be safe, but it should also be rare. And the way to make it rare is to ensure that we have access to good contraception. Mm-hmm. And the same people that are anti-choice are the same people that are also restricting not only access to contraception, but financial support of contraception.
And this was some of the Supreme Court decision last year when it came to Hobby Lobby, when they and whenever they say, well, I shouldn't have to pay for your birth control is what they people were saying. So are we now going to pick and choose what types of medical?
Yes. And Hobby Lobby's not the only one out there. I actually talk a great deal about being a conscientious consumer and knowing where you're spending your money. And I've actually done a little research on that. And you would be shocked how many Hobby Lobbies there are out there. They are not the only ones. You know, Chick-fil-A.
Anything off the top?
I mean, the list is very long.
Whatever you want to throw out there, it's fine.
Of, you know, places that do not support women's reproductive rights, that do not give their women employees the same kind of medical coverage that men get.
In which sense? In the sense that there's Viagra
they don't cover birth control. Right. I mean, we're not even talking abortion. We're talking birth control.
Mm-hmm, which
so
is
if
medical.
You're not going to cover someone's contraception, mm-hmm. and then you're going to penalize them for a pregnancy that occurs as a result of lack of access to contraception, we're in big trouble here. And this is, to me, this isn't just about women's rights. This is about human rights. This is about the ability for individuals to make their own decisions without government stepping in and dictating what they can and can't do with their bodies.
And not just the government, but when Susan Flukey was testifying in front of the Senate, when they were having the hearings about birth control and access through insurance companies, it was amazing how vilified she was and the slut shaming and like things like, you know, the radio show hosts were saying things like, you know, how many pills are you taking? How much are you having sex? And one of the things that she had been talking about, one of the conversations that I think was so, such a low murmur was contraception isn't necessarily only for birth control, which we talked about before.
That is so important, is that 30% of contraception that's prescribed in this country is prescribed for non-contraceptive purposes.
Yes.
We are talking women that have, you know, not only horribly painful periods, but heavy periods that result in anemia and transfusions. We're talking about treatment of things like menstrual migraines, all kinds of hormonal irregularities, even things like precancerous changes in the uterus. And we know that hormonal contraceptive can protect against things like ovarian cancer and uterine cancer and endometriosis. And the list is very, very long.
Oh,
so,
skin,
but I shouldn't have to explain myself.
I shouldn't
have to say to someone, yes, I am prescribing this for X reason versus Y reason.
Is there a way to recategorize it then so it's not called birth control or contraception? No, I mean, really.
Well,
hormonal regulation.
I talk about this all the time, that we should think of another phrase to use other than birth control.
Right.
And because, first of all, birth control is not just the pill. Birth control is anything that's used to control pregnancy. So it might be an IUD. It might be a condom. It might be a female condom. It might, you know, there's all kinds of options out there. So I always thought of them as being hormone regulation pills.
Yes.
But that hasn't really caught on.
No.
But I think
and I want to throw something, and just because it makes me women's health. I shouldn't be angry about women's health, but
I'm angry. You should be angry.
I'm angry at women's health. Because I support
what's
women's
happening,
health.
Right.
Yes. In
it
regard,
happening.
I have
and
to
Planned Parenthood, and you know,
I have to take a break. I won't throw anything. I promise, Craig, during the break. But this is one of the things that I'm most passionate about. So let me take a break here. And I know that some people are uncomfortable, but this is important. This is your wives, your mothers, your daughters. These are the women in your life who you care about.
One-third
or who
of
you
American
claim to.
Women have had an abortion, and about 90%, if not more, American women have used contraception at some point in their life. So this is everyone. This is not just a few people.
No, this is women. Women's health. More after this on 720. We're talking to Dr. Stryker. So if you're concerned, I know that people just think that I kind of go off the deep end. And no, I'm talking to a professional. So there, Elliot. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we have with us, well, Elliot Serrano, who's hoping that we're not turning on you, Elliot. I think you're learning, right, a little bit from Dr. Stryker?
I'm learning way more than I ever thought I would. Yes.
Excellent. And off the air, she was telling me that when she goes on television, she is told the limited number of times she's allowed to say the word vagina. And I was telling her that my listeners often call and complain when we say that word, even though I believe, and you can correct me, it's a medical term for a female body part.
Yes, that would be the case.
Yes.
Well, they let you say hoo-ha.
Yes,
hoo-ha,
I can say
vajayjay. Down there, very
coochie.
Popular.
Can you say it like Al Pacino?
One of those.
Maybe that'll get by.
Don't you think when we use diminutive terms like that, then it continues to sort of perpetuate the idea that it's not important?
That it's not important, but that worse, that it's shameful.
Shameful. That's
shameful.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's really what it is that women are taught, not all women, of course, but many young girls are taught that they should be ashamed of their genitals, of their vaginas, that they have an odor, that they're not clean. You know, in many parts of the country, douching is just considered to be like brushing your teeth because it's dirty. It smells bad. And this is all part of the vagina shaming, the genital shaming. And this carries through. We still hear about this,
which is dangerous for a woman's health, because I talk about being in the stirrups. And one of the jokes that I have is that, you know, technology, this is an exam that was invented in 1927. And a lot has happened since then. And I don't know why we don't have an app for the pap. I don't know if you and I can get together on that.
We could work on that.
But women don't go It's because it's humiliating, it's painful. And I had a woman tell me that she had not had one in 11 years until she came to my show and saw that a lot of other women felt the same way, humiliated, and were laughing at the stress of it. And she emailed me and said when she was in the stirrups, she thought of me, and I'll take it. I'll take it every day of the week and twice on Sunday, because women don't go because they're embarrassed by their body parts.
17% of women go to the gynecologist every year. 17%. And this number always shocks people. But the reality is this: most women don't go, not only because they're embarrassed, they might not have coverage, they might not think it's important. But yeah, a lot of it is that they just feel like no one should be looking down there. They certainly don't look down there. Men are inspecting from morning until night. Now, granted, it's a lot easier for them,
but
any time that something pops up on a guy's genitals, you know, a little dot on his penis and he's all over it. Women, they don't look. They don't know. And I cannot tell you how many times someone will come into the office and I'll see something and I'll say, oh, there's this, you know, big thing here. Have you noticed this? Or does this bother you? And they're like, oh, I didn't even know. I hadn't even looked. And that would never happen with a guy.
Wow. 17%.
17%.
Please tell.
And it's getting worse now, because now there's this whole thing about you only need a pap smear every 3 years. And what people don't appreciate is that a pap smear is not the same as a gynecologic exam. And even if you don't have a pap smear, someone still has to look on your vulva and your vagina and your cervix, because if I don't, who's going to?
Yes.
And there are things that we pick up that are separate from the pap smear. And you still have to check your uterus, your ovaries. You are not off the hook if you don't need a pap smear.
And by off the hook, it means a clear bill of health. What we are talking about is saving lives.
Saving lives, and also just an opportunity to talk about this stuff. You know, one of the things that I'm out there you're just talking about constantly is the fact that no one is having this conversation, because these are taboo topics. And so often when I say to a woman, you know, let's talk about your sex life. Let's talk about the fact that I think you're losing urine. Are you losing urine? And she's like, oh, thank God that you asked me about that, because I did want to talk about it, but I didn't want to be the one to bring it up. So a lot of
and
times
women just
someone
accept it as after children or things like that. Yes.
It's so common, but common is not the same as normal. And just because someone is experiencing something doesn't mean that they have to experience it. And so often a woman goes to her doctor and he or she will say, well, this is just a normal part of aging, or this is just the way it goes. And because their doctor hasn't given them a solution, they think there is no solution. And that's actually why I wrote SexRx, Hormones, Health, and Your Best Sex Ever, because it was with the idea that there are solutions out there for painful sex, for urinary incontinence, for whatever isn't going right in terms of your health. There are things that women can be empowered to act upon and to do, but someone's got to give them the information. Women are smart. You give them good information and they will make good choices.
Right.
But they have to have good information.
And we don't need artificial barriers to access for better.
And there are so many barriers, mm-hmm. so many barriers.
Whether it's shame or insurance, sort of advice that we get, whether we see it on television. The other thing I wanted to talk to you before I let you go is Planned Parenthood. You mentioned off the air that you make donations to Planned Parenthood. And this is something that, for me, when I didn't have health insurance, this is where I went and they had found abnormal cells in my cervix, and I had to have them frozen off and have
cryo,
and it was painful. But I'll remember for the rest of my life that it cost me $117 when I was in my 20s and didn't have very much money.
That's right.
And that's a life that could be a life saving procedure for somebody to make sure that they are staying ahead of something.
Yeah.
So when people say, one of the people, someone emailed me and said they don't even do mammograms, but they do screenings.
They do breast exams, but they ensure that a woman will get a mammogram. They do more well woman care than anyone else in the United States. And in addition to, of course, providing contraception, they are doing STD screening and they are doing pap smears and they are finding abnormalities. And they do such an extraordinary job with such limited resources. If someone has a dollar at Planned Parenthood, that goes so much further than a dollar, certainly in my office,
right,
or, you know, any other office. They really have just made it available to women. And so many women have your story. Yeah, you look at women who now are successful, who do have insurance, and you say to them, yeah, but did Planned Parenthood ever factor into your life?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When I was in college, when I was starting out, when I didn't have other resources, they were there for me. They gave me good care. And if I didn't have any money, they made sure I got the right care
exactly.
anyway. And that is just gold. And we cannot let that go away in this country.
It is. It's galling to me that people will call it. They want to get rid of Planned Parenthood. They want to defund it. This has come up again and again over the last few years. Obviously, this year in particular.
These are not people that care about women. They just don't. And they say that they do. And it's quite frankly offensive.
Where can we find your book?
Everywhere. Sex RX, Hormones Halt and Your Best Sex Ever on Amazon and bookstores. And I love it when people write about their comments and tell me what they think of it. My website is drstreicher.com. And
let's spell that so people can...
DrStreicher.
And I need you to come back again.
I would
Because this
to.
Is fantastic, as I mentioned.
Lots to talk about.
Yes,
stuff.
Lots
good
to talk
stuff.
About.
Important stuff.
Yes, I suspect that if we could, because men are in power politically and financially, mm-hmm. I have always thought that if we tested for testicular cancer the same way we did mammograms, maybe we could move the balls down the field. That's I don't know what else to say, because it really is appalling to me that they just don't get it.
It's perfect. That's exactly.
You can use it anywhere you want.
Thank
you don't
you.
Even have
thank
to.
You.
No, but you don't need any sources from me. You are a remarkable woman, and thank you so much for the work that you do, Dr. Stryker. Again, you're a gynecologist, also OBGYN?
I'm an OBGYN. I'm not delivering babies these days. I am mostly doing menopause, sexual health, hysterectomy, alternatives to hysterectomy, complex gynecology, mm-hmm. and mostly just out here talking to people,
yes.
too, because this is what I really like to do is to get good information to women.
Well, we look forward to having you back. Thank you again for the work that you do and keeping the conversation going and encouraging others to do so. More after this on 720 WGN.